Coming up on today's show...
Someone from my family will go out there weekly and we've had a candle lighting there. And even in, you know, the stormiest of weathers, we'll always go out and the candle remains lighting and we don't have anything up around it.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Stay in the know. Be sure that you have signed up there for free for the Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out each Monday. That's it. I'm not going to overdo it with emails. Just once a week when a new episode comes out. While you are on the website signing up for the newsletter, look at the top of any page on the site and you will see social media links, logos actually, for this show, meaning Facebook, X, Instagram, and YouTube, so that you can engage with me and the show that way. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group consisting of listeners of this show and some past guests. That is free to join, and you can also find a link for that too on catholicsportsradio.net. I do truly enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Win at all costs. There's an expression that needs some serious analysis. What kind of message does it send? How many times have you watched a sporting event on television and heard a commentator say, "Oh, he got away with that"? They'll show you a replay of something that blends into the flow of the game and disguises itself as being a, for all intents and purposes, natural action, yet in reality goes against the rules and escaped the referee's sight. Temptation looms over competition in the sense of trying to disguise something in this way, seeing what can be done that shouldn't be done, all in the hopes of coming out victorious. If I were to say that same statement over again, you can almost hear it in the context of our daily lives and what we try to convince ourselves are just minor sins, all in the name of seeking an advantage. During a morning meditation, Pope Francis cautioned against Satan trying to lure us into exactly that type of behavior. The Holy Father said, quote, "It is true that the devil," and St. Paul says so, "very often comes dressed up as an angel of light. He likes to imitate the light of Jesus. He makes himself seem good and speaks to us like that, calmly, just as Jesus spoke after fasting in the wilderness. Work this miracle. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the temple. Make a show of it." And he says so in a way that is calm. End quote. Friends, whether in our sporting endeavors or at our job or at our home in our personal family life, we must always look through the lens of a Catholic Christian and be on guard against the evil one dressed up as an angel of light. As we wind down 2024, one thing that people start to evaluate going into a new year is medical coverage. When it comes to healthcare, you want an option that works for you. If your health insurance believes they know best, maybe you need an alternative that believes you should decide. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. With no provider network and the flexibility to join anytime, you choose what works for you and your family. Whether you're navigating the diaper stage, getting your kids ready for school, or planning for early retirement, CHM's comprehensive programs grow and go with you through all life's seasons. Enroll today by visiting chministries.org/catholic-radio. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest competed in a long list of sports from elementary school to high school to university and adult life. Notably, she competed regionally in running and at the world level in dance. Regarding the latter, she is a world championship-winning professional Irish dancer, and she now dances for coaching. Meanwhile, she ran her first 10K in 2017 and has remained very involved in running. She is the graduate lab coordinator at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas for the Optimum Performance Program in Sport, which blends traditional mental health services with sport culture and customized performance coaching. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Eilish Moriarty.
Hi, Bruce. How are you? Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure. The very first question right out of the gate, I'm already looking forward to hearing you give this answer because although we just heard that you're based in Las Vegas, share with the audience not only where you were born, but then where you were raised.
Yes, I was born in Chicago, Illinois, and I was reared in County Kerry in Ireland in a town called Listowel.
And what was the family size?
My family, I have a brother who's a year older than me, so he's 30, I'm 29, and I have two little sisters who are 16 and 17.
Okay, now you have deep, deep roots in the Catholic faith, which also includes a couple of your relatives as well as your being active in the church. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so my personal and my professional journey have always been deeply rooted in my Catholic faith. And growing up in my Catholic family in Ireland, I was definitely very immersed in the traditions and rituals of our faith from an early age. And I actually do have a relative, Tom Murphy, was Archbishop of Seattle. And then I had a very special relationship with my devoutly Catholic grandmother in Chicago. And with her, we'd gather on Sundays for an Irish breakfast with the St. Patrick's Fathers. So yeah, my childhood was definitely shaped by a blend of uniquely Irish experiences intertwined with Catholicism. I altar served until I was 14. I was involved in the church choir, as a singer and musician. So I think all of that contributed to my Catholic identity.
And being an altar server and being in the choir, that was in Chicago or that was in Ireland?
That was in Ireland.
Okay, okay. Well, let's start digging into all your sports participation. Give us the list that began in elementary school and then cap it off by giving us some insight to the world championship titles you won in competitive dance.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose like anyone with some parents that were proudly behind me, they let us try our hand at anything we were interested in as long as we kept up, the practice ourselves. So I do have a laundry list of things I tried out and it gets shorter as I got older. But I played soccer. I was on swim team. I played t-ball when I was over in Chicago as a little kid. I was on track and field, badminton and tennis. And then as I got into high school, I kept up the running and badminton and dance. And so with the running, I competed regionally. And then with dance, I competed at the world level. And so with my dance career, I suppose I should let you know where I started, which was at the age of 3, quite young. My mother was a dance teacher, and so I was kind of born into it, really. My mom, actually, a fun fact, was Michael Flatley's dance partner growing up.
Whoa.
So, if you know river dancing so definitely born into it. But then, as far as, my competition and performance career, I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to qualify and perform at the World Championships in a couple of different places, including Glasgow. I was in Dublin, Belfast, out in Boston. And so with my groups, I was lucky enough to, be first place. And then I was qualifying as a solo performer.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I intentionally asked that question the way it did, meaning that I wanted you to end that answer by sharing about your successes in competitive dance, because you say that dance was never just a physical pursuit for you. It was deeply spiritual. Explain that.
Yeah, so that's a great question. I suppose being the type of dance that it is, Irish dance, for me, I always loved dancing. And I, definitely kind of, it was so intertwined in what I did growing up. And you get to dance at school and, things like that. But in Ireland, around the time of its colonization, Irish people weren't allowed to practice their faith or anything related to Irish culture. So that included our language, our, traditions of singing and dance and music. And so I was very lucky that I grew up really, you know, being involved in all of those and understanding what they meant to my heritage. And so, yeah, so definitely was knowing that I was part of something bigger with being able to, I mean, my name is Eilish, it's the translation for Elizabeth in Irish Gaelic, and I'm, you know, heavily involved in dance and music and song, and yeah, so it's all intertwined for me, and I'm very proud of all of it.
Could it be said, is dance a sport that, from an outsider's perspective, I'm talking about myself, it would appear to me as something very individual where you do have the opportunity to exhibit grace and maybe connect with the Lord in those, I'm going to say, quiet moments. Certainly when there's competition, there's music, but you're in the quiet of your heart. Certainly you're in your head in terms of the technique and the routine, but am I onto something there?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, you hit the nail on the head. I suppose that for me is where I realized my interest in psychology as well. And so basically for me, before I go on stage, I suppose kind of taken aback a bit, my family are very, we definitely show our faith before we do any kind of a big endeavor or anything like that. We'll always have candles lighting or, you know, say a prayer, or, you know, all these different kind of ways of acknowledging our kind of peace in a moment. And before I would go on stage and dance, I'd always, you know, say a little prayer and bless myself and just kind of prepare to get on stage. And with that, I just noticed how everyone does something so differently before they get on stage. So I became very fascinated with pre-performance routines and how different dancers and athletes and whatnot approached those moments before going out into competition. How do they prepare themselves? And so my undergraduate research in the University of Limerick in Ireland, I studied how pre-performance routines play into elite dancers is what I looked at. And so I found that over 50% of, you know, these elite athletes who are all in, you know, troops touring the world for Riverdance and Lord of the Dance and whatnot, and all have world championship status. And over 50% of them engaged in spiritual routine, which I, you know, classified as either prayer or, you know, having a holy medal or something along those lines. And so it definitely, you hit the nail on the head with that one, yeah, absolutely.
Well, but I'm also noticing that with the exception of soccer and t-ball, the list of sports that you participated in that you recited for us, I'm talking about swimming, I'm talking about running, badminton, tennis, dance, these are all individual sports. And I wonder if there was something within you that led you to those sports because they were individual sports. And by the way, I know you also sent me a picture of yourself playing golf, so maybe we should add that one to the list too.
That's a more recent endeavor. I suppose moving to the United States, coming from Ireland, people think you're inherently good at golf. And during the times of COVID, you know, that was something that a lot of my friends, I was living in Omaha, Nebraska, a lot of my friends were out golfing and I was so jealous that I couldn't get out there with them. And so kind of got into it myself. And, you know, I wish I'd gotten into it sooner. I love it. It's great. But yeah, I suppose coming back to what you were saying there about the individual versus the team, a lot of the, you know, things that I did, it was like, you know, a majority of it was alone, but then I would also be involved in the group aspect. So badminton, you know, it's something you can definitely, you know, be practice away on your own, but I was always with a group of four. Or, you know, with tennis, you typically will have a partner. And then, you know, with my running, which I'm very involved in still, that's kind of the way that I would socialize in my adult life. And so I have, like, you know, it's definitely something you do solo, but you're surrounded by a bigger community. And so same thing with my dance, you know, my world championship medals are from group competitions. So there was actually between 8 and 16 of us on the stage. So definitely something that I practiced individually. And, you know, in the day-to-day running of things, you know, with the preparation and the, you know, getting prepared for it, was mostly solo and mostly, you know, you're spending a lot of time in your own head preparing. But they all did have a team element to them, I suppose, in the latter end of it. So.
Well, I'm going to make the argument, audience, and you're going to hear as we continue along how just so deeply rooted Eilish is in her Catholic faith and everything that she does, be it sporting or academic, professional, otherwise. Although I tip my hat to you, you had sent me something that said, My typical week of training is lifting in the gym 5 days a week in the morning, followed by a 20-minute walk, run, and dance session. And I got tired just reading that. Amazing.
That's fair.
But, you know, the solitude is what I'm after. You know, I think that subconsciously you have found yourself in so many moments of solitude in competition that I think that's probably, I could make an argument that that's how you've been able to stay so deeply connected to your faith in those moments.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I'm definitely a very independent person overall. You know, if you meet any of my friends, they'll probably say that about me. And I definitely think it is down to that. You know, I feel very at peace with myself. And so I do like to go, we'll say like the gym in the morning for me, that's the time that I can, you know, not have to worry about answering emails or, you know, running to meet somebody, or take a call or anything. It's just me, and it's me being grateful for my health. And, you know, I suppose with any athlete can relate to, if you've been injured and had to sit out and not be able to move your body, when you come back, you're just so much more grateful for the ability that you do have, you know, and realizing not everyone has that. So I like to start my day being grateful for my health overall. And yeah, those times in the morning are just kind of where it's quiet for me and I can reflect.
And audience, that alone is tremendous testimony, because Eilish has had multiple injuries and broken bones, and it's very easy to feel sorry for yourself or to do the opposite of gratitude and question why me and be disappointed in the way that these things have gone. And instead, she gives gratitude, and you heard me say about the typical week of training for her. I can make a strong argument, Eilish, that you demonstrated the mix of faith and sports in that you were a member of the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association, and then you carried their core practice into your adult life, meaning as an athlete. Tell the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is actually something I didn't realize is quite uniquely Irish. When we receive our confirmation in Ireland, you can take what's called the pledge, and that is, you know, pledging to not drink until you're, you know, 18, or, and most people will engage in that. And then I took it just that little step further, and I joined what's called the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association. And so it's known, you know, kind of around as just the Pioneers Association. And that is a Catholic, an Irish Catholic organization that is dedicated to just, you know, instilling the value of temperance through abstaining from alcohol. And so that definitely played an important role for me in, I think, just in that, like you were saying, I do these things kind of alone. I'm the last person that you could ever say would be pressured into doing anything. And I think that really is something that I can attribute to the way I am as an adult. I can attribute it back to that without even questioning it, because, you know, in Ireland, there, you know, drinking culture is ingrained into, you know, even if you're at a, if we want to bring it back to Catholicism, if you're at like a baptism or a funeral or anything, it's all, you know, these are all things where there's a lot of drinking going on. And so in Ireland, the drinking age is 18. And so I rejoined the Pioneers so you can renew it. And I did that until I was 21. And so that was essentially all through my college years, which I know in the United States, it is 21 is the drinking age.
Right.
But in Ireland, it isn't. So I definitely was, I kind of, in a way, could have othered myself, you know, and it didn't have that effect at all. I was so, I never felt any social pressures, and I never, you know, I'm always to this day, with or without a drink, I'm the last one on the dance floor. So it made me very confident in myself. And having those years of being so, you know, disciplined and dedicated, I never had to worry about, you know, choosing between being social or my sport. You know, I didn't have to worry about going to a birthday party and then going to a competition the next day or something, because I was just had, you know, a drive to keep going and be the best I could be for those competitions. So yeah, I definitely think that kind of all ties together in and out of sport.
Yeah, and in training and in exercise itself, and not, obviously in competition, discipline is so, so important. So the fact that you learned discipline through the Pioneer Total Abstinence Association and then, yes, carried it on 3 years longer than they would have had targeted, but the fact that you carried it into your adult life as an athlete speaks volumes about how impactful that was.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think learning, you know, even just that ability to thrive in social situations and just remain true to myself is definitely, I can attribute that back to the Pioneer Association for sure.
Here is something you might have missed, folks. And by the way, Eilish Moriarty is my guest. And We're going to learn about an Irish Catholic tradition that she continues to this day when she's in Ireland and that others in her family are doing weekly as we speak. Ailisha is also going to tell us about research that she has done, and you're going to hear about the TOPS program, which I mentioned in the intro. Last Thursday, though, as I started to say, something you might have missed, I posted on Catholic Sports Radio Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram that 2 days earlier had been Giving Tuesday. Even though I probably should have been better prepared and called attention to that on last week's episode, on those social media platforms, I had said that it does not have to be a named occasion for you to support my ministry. I invite you today, as was the case in those posts I put up last week, to join with me and keep growing Catholic Sports Radio together and bringing more brothers and sisters in Christ further along on their walk through the mix of faith and sports. Making CSR part of your tithing helps, while also showing your belief in this community we are united in together. Sending in a contribution also tells me that you enjoy the show and see value in what I'm doing. Maybe you want to send me a Christmas card and include something for my ministry that way. Very doable as well. The blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send your contribution to my ministry. Alternatively, though, if you prefer, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, and this also speaks to anyone who had thought of sending me a Christmas card, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. Regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do when guests and listeners have sent in a contribution. Or, as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing, as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Ailisha, as I started into all that, I made reference to an Irish Catholic tradition that you still participate in when you are home in Ireland. Explain to the audience what is happening with your mother, as well as about what your family back there is doing each week.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose in putting together kind of my thoughts for what we were going to talk about today, I didn't realize that there is so how deep, I knew it was always, you know, Irish culture and tradition is deeply intertwined with Catholicism. But I mean, even when you go back to how we say hello in the Irish language is the Aguit, which means God is with you. And then the response is the Ismergit, which means, you know, God and Mary are with you. So it is just very inherently there in our culture. But something I didn't realize was something that was unique to Ireland is the tradition of visiting holy wells. And so in Ireland, there's holy wells scattered across the country. And, you know, you typically find one in most, you know, towns or villages. And they're associated with a saint or significant event in Irish Catholic history. And so people typically will go to these, they'll visit these wells when they're praying for healings or blessings. And so pilgrims would often walk barefoot or perform a ritual washing in the well's water. So we'll say, you know, wash your feet in the water, something like that. And so, yeah, to this day, my family are, anytime I'm home, we'll always visit St. Bath's Well, is what it's called. So St. Bartholomew's Well. And that is located about 2 miles from my home in Ireland. And I've done this before every major dance competition, school exam, interview, you know, anything like that, or whenever someone was ill or just for, you know, a peaceful retreat, we'll go there on Christmas and Easter and things like that. It's just like a very nice thing that my family do all together. And so, yeah, actually, you had mentioned my mother there. Last October 2023, my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And so the kind of outlook that they had was very short term. And that's about a year and a half ago now, you know, so someone from my family will go out there weekly and we've had a candle lighting there. And even in, you know, the stormiest of weathers, we'll always go out and the candle remains lighting and we don't have anything up around it. So it's a really beautiful experience.
Oh, audience, please keep Ailisha's mother in your prayers and don't miss some of the stories that we've heard in the Bible that she just mentioned in that practice. And immediately you think of the woman at the well, but also the washing of the feet. So there's quite a bit there. And interesting that Eilish and I were talking before I hit the record button that, audience, if we're wrong, and this is done in the United States, please contact me and let me know. But Eilish and I were saying before we started recording that we think it's exclusive to Ireland. So very interesting practice to learn about. The TOPS program, T-O-P-P-S, is the Optimum Performance Program in Sport. And I said in the intro that Eilish is the graduate lab coordinator at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas for that. Eilish, explain specifically what all that means and the work that you're doing there with athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. So the TOPS lab is the lab that I'm part of with the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And so it's directed by Dr. Bradley Donahue, an esteemed researcher in this whole area. And basically, it stands for the Optimum Performance Program in Sport. And that's what we're doing. We're using, you know, our understanding of psychology and mental health and, you know, seeing how that, you know, plays into mental resilience in these top elite athletes. And so it's just been a very rewarding journey. I only began working with TOPS in August of this year. And, you know, the opportunities and the groups that we've worked with have been just absolutely fantastic. They do really, really great work.
So to be clear, you are not only working with UNLV athletes.
No, yeah, we are working, but Dr. Bradley Donahue obviously has a much more extensive group that he works with on a week-in, week-out basis, but they work very closely with Cirque du Soleil in Las Vegas, USC, various, you know, different teams, you know, every sport you can think of.
Wow.
Yeah, it's something that really can benefit everybody, but something that is, you know, we're talking from an athlete perspective, but it really is a performer perspective that we come at. So, you know, a lot of the, you know, even down to working with first responders, anyone who's working at a really elite level and need that, you know, a specific type of intervention.
But the research that you mentioned in the first half of the show that you did regarding prayer-based routines before performing, that's not from TOPS. That's research that you had done before you got to UNLV, correct?
Yeah, that's kind of what led me in my journey to UNLV.
Okay.
So that was part of my undergraduate thesis. And so, you know, that's where I realized that, you know, over 50% of world-class dancers like myself were relying on these faith-based rituals to prepare mentally for performance. And so I was just, you know, interested in seeing kind of how that is on a, you know, outside of the world of dance, you know, looking at other types of sports and things like that. And just from my own experiences, you know, like you were saying with golf, you know, you're so, it's such a mental game, you know, you're really in your head beforehand. And so the TOPS program, what I really like about that is it starts out with, you know, understanding what is most important to the athlete. And so we start out by giving them kind of, for all intents and purposes, like a form that they'll fill out. And it says, you know, what are their top values? What do they value? And, you know, faith is one of the things that they can check off. And so if that is something that is, you know, the most important, you know, value in their life that they want to, you know, focus on, we'll work towards that. And for some people, it's something else. So it really is very athlete specific. And if the athlete is someone who's very faith-based, we'll take that into account and use that for their treatment.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you say that one of the most profound moments in your faith life was a shrine visit. I would love if you could share with us about that.
Absolutely, yeah. So last Easter time, I came home for a visit to Ireland. And at the time I was living out in Omaha, Nebraska. I came home for a visit and it was my brother and my mom and her brother and our cousin. And we all went up to where their father was from. And so we got to visit his home house that he grew up in. And he left at, I think, age 11 to go off to England working with his brother. And so it was just a very, a really beautiful moment for our family to see. You know, we saw the handball alley that he grew up, you know, playing handball in and all of that. And then we all took a trip over to Knock Shrine, which is Marian Shrine in County Mayo. And so it was just something that I think, you know, with having my mom having gotten that diagnosis and having, you know, really just been kind of going through the ringer with a lot of different treatments and things like that, it was just, we all were there together and it was just so peaceful. So that was kind of something that just really, I think, reinforced my bond with the Irish Catholic traditions, and that area up there is very special to me as well. I lived there for a while, so it was a really beautiful moment.
Just wonderful. Just wonderful. And you have done a wonderful job throughout this conversation of clearly showing the intersection of faith and sports. So I think it's fitting that we close by having you share yet another example of that, which is the coaching that you've done both in Ireland and Nebraska. Explain to the audience both the dance side of that as well as the Catholic aspect.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I danced, you know, professionally and in competition up to the age of 18. And then, you know, from 18 onward, I have been, you know, coaching dance in a lot of different aspects. So in Ireland, I was coaching with an organization called Cultus. So it's very based in the Irish tradition. And then in Omaha, Nebraska, I was teaching with a dance school called Crina Tira, which means of the heartland, which is very fitting for Nebraska, right in the center there. And so, I was lucky enough to coach, you know, these wonderful groups of dancers, and there's some world qualifiers actually even this year. And, you know, every year they would have a fundraiser around St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's weekend, and it was held in a parish hall there in St. Robert's Parish in Omaha, Nebraska. And, you know, they always just received the most fantastic support from the parishioners there. And I just thought that was lovely to see, you know, the Catholic communities, and it's just another example of how supportive the community really is overall.
Amen. Amen. Elise, this was wonderful. I knew it would be. I was looking forward to this, and I really appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you, and I appreciate you making time to talk to me today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate being on.
Audience, it's on my heart that we pray for Elise's mother. So instead of one of our usual sports-associated prayers, I thought it would be fitting, especially since we are in the Christmas season, to call upon the Blessed Virgin and ask for her intercession in Elise's mother and what she's dealing with. You heard her talk about the October 2023 diagnosis of the stage 4 lung cancer. So let's close with a Hail Mary for this week's episode and pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.